Okay, good morning. Kailam called on to use this opportunity to be my chiyach to prove that there's a benefit to shul membership meetings. Many times we come to meetings and we're not sure if anything will happen from them, but this past Sunday we were had a shul meeting, and Rabbi Alex Puddel Shlita was ma'ir that we should have a shir on a legal holidays. So Baruch Hashem, we were able to pull it together, and I thank Rabbi Alex for the schus of being able to do it together with him, and thank everybody for participating. So the sugya we're going to discuss today is negayat on a weekly basis at least, but it's also specifically applicable to this week's limud of the Amud a Week program, where they're up to daf lamed tesam and beis and brachas. So, you know, whether you're a part of the program yet or not yet, you should be soon. Everyone hopefully can relate to it. And that's not part of this. On a different madriga. Okay, so hopefully everyone saw the basic gemara. We'll just speak it out outside. We're all familiar with the parasha and the Torah and parashas B'shalach of the falling of the man. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael all the various halachas of the man. It comes Friday. People notice that there's much more man around than there is typically on a regular day. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, that's correct. Make sure everyone should take today a double portion, because tomorrow Shabbos the man will not fall. The Gemara then goes on from based on these psukim. It's the Gemara in Brachas and a very similar Gemara, almost the same with a couple of extra additives in Shabbos, that Rab Abba teaches us a halacha that on Shabbos a person has to be bitsaya, which we'll try to translate those words later, on two kikars, on two loaves of bread. And he says, because the pasuk here says the additional words of lechem mishnah, double bread, meaning those words are excessive in the pasuk. The pasuk could have just said, which is the pasuk on top, the pasuk chav beis. The pasuk could have just said, vahi bayom hashishi loktu shneha oimer, etc. They took two portions, two oimer for each one. The words lechem mishnah, double bread, is superfluous in the pasuk. From that superfluous two words, the Gemara darshins that we have to take two breads on Shabbos. And then the Gemara goes on to recount various practices of the Amorayim, how they fulfilled this mitzvah. Rav Ashi says that he was a witness to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana would take two and be botza on one, and Rav Zera would be botza akula sherusa. So Rashi learns, what does it mean that Rav Zera was botza akula sherusa? Means he took two, but then he took a big piece. A prusa gedoyla, Rashi learns, that Rav Zera took his challah knife and cut a real king-size piece of challah for the suda. And Ravina asked Rav Ashi, how could you do that? In the chora, it's mechzi krav sanusa. Looks like you're a ravenous person, a person just, you know, who's eating with his eyes, so to speak. You're taking too much food, more than you can handle, and that would not be appropriate. He says, no, it's not true. Since the rest of the week, when we eat, we don't eat in such a fashion, and we're doing it specifically now for the sake of Shabbos. Therefore, he says, it wouldn't give that negative implication. So that's the basic of the Gemara with Rashi. Let's just recap again. Rashi is learning, the Gemara is teaching us the Chiddush of Lecha Mishnah in general. And we have two practices that we see from the Amorayim. Number one, Rav Kahana would take both challahs together, but then he'd be butza. And Rashi and Shabbat explains, meaning by the Birchas HaMaitzi, he would take both, but then he would only break one, because he said, the Gemara there on Shabbos, for those who are able to see, it says lak tuksiv, meaning only at the time of you taking it, it has to be two, but at the time of breaking it, it only has to be one. And like we said, Rav Zera, according to Rashi, would just cut off one large slice of, he would cut off a large slice of challah, and that's how he would give it out.
So the word lak tu is referring to the challahs as opposed to taking to many people.
Gathering like a portion, right. Take double portion. That's the recap of the Gemara with Rashi. The Rashba is on next page in source number 4, has multiple questions on Rashi. And he'll offer a different shot in understanding the practice of Rav Zera. Number one, he says, the second line of the Rashba, he says, "Ve'ena b'chover ve'ena." This pshat of Rashi does not, I don't agree with it. Number one, he says, "Chada d'la'havalei l'meimar akula sherusa." It should not have said there, Rav Zera was batza on kula sherusa, if he's only breaking one piece of bread. Ela batza kula sherusa. He broke the whole portion. What's akula sherusa? It sounds like on all the portions. The way Rashi is saying it, it should have just said kula sherusa. Very slight nuance in the text of the Gemara. That's question one. Question two, he asks on the opinion of Rav Zera, how can the Gemara ask mechzi krav sanusa? If a person takes one large slice of bread, why is that mechzi krav sanusa? He looks like a very hungry person. It looks like he's taking a bakavadika portion. You know, because he says, the Gemara later on says that the reason why we tell the balabayas, the house owner, The one who's in charge of the Suda to give out the bread is because he'll give out ba'ayin yafa. He'll give out with a generous eye. He'll give everybody a nice king-size portion. So that's not mechsi karav sanusa. That's the appropriate way to serve your guests. So therefore, ask the Rashba on Rashi, why is Rashi learned there that all you did was take a large-size slice? And thirdly, he says he doesn't like Rashi's pshat because if you look at the Hemshecha Gemara, and his girsa was Rab Chia, our girsa was Rab Abba, but he says, it sounds like you have to be bitzoa, and he's asking, should we have to break both breads? And that should flow straight into Rab Zera. And therefore, he argues on Rashi, halfway through, the Rashba says, Elavade hachi pirushoi, the correct pshat in the Gemara is that Rab Zera was batza al kol hakikaris hamunachas lefanov. Rab Zera broke all the breads in front of him. He had two breads in front of him, let's say, in a typical case. We'll get to different scenarios later. But if you have two chalas in front of you, so the Rashba, Rab Zera broke both. And that makes a lot of sense, says the Rashba, in the way his gears of the Gemara, is that the Gemara there asks right away in Rab Zera, how can you break all the breads? That's seemingly way out of line, way out of proportion. And then the Gemara afterwards brings the practice of Kahana, they would only break one challah. And that's how the Rashba concludes, in the name of Rav Haigain, that we have two options by Lecha Mishnah. Number one, we could go like Rav Zera and break all the breads, or we can go like Rav Kahana and just break one of the bread. And the Rashba leaves it open-ended, that whatever practice one would like to follow, he can follow. We're not tied into one. The Rashba says we don't seem to be having a psak from this Gemara per se, according to the Rashba, just giving us the option of either, again, taking two and breaking one, or taking two and breaking two. So that's the basic Gemara with a fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to do Lecha Mishnah. Let's put that on hold for a moment, and now let's discuss a more fundamental question as well as how the poskim understand this chiyuv of Lecha Mishnah. Is it a full-fledged chiyuv, a da'araisa, or is it just a takana d'rabbanan? The Rabbanan said this is what we should do to commemorative act, but not so obligatory. And this is going to be a big machlokes. Interesting is that the main marmakomis for this machlokes does come up in Hilchos Shabbos. Of course, we're discussing Shabbos, but it's in other areas of halacha, and then we'll take it back to Hilchos Shabbos. So the first source for this is number 5, again on page 2. We're in Hilchos Chanukah, Habar Aleinu L'Toivah. We're getting ready for Chanukah, so here we are. The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch tells us based on the Gemara, that if a person unfortunately is in a situation where he has a dollar left to his name, he has no cash, $1, and he's not sure what should he do, should he buy a Chanukah candle or should he buy a Shabbos candle? The halacha is he has to buy a Shabbos candle with his last dollar, and that's because Shalom Bayis Adif. Because the idea of the Shabbos candles, we spoke about this in another time, is to promote Shalom Bayis, peace and harmony in the house, and that trumps over the Chiyuv of Ner Chanukah. Let's say we're a person who has $2 left to his name, so the first dollar he spends on Ner Shabbos, and now he has a question. Does he buy Yayin for Kiddush, or does he buy Ner Chanukah? Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and Paskins that he should buy Ner Chanukah in this case, because Presume Nisa, is a miracle, the extra part of Ner Chanukah is to glorify the Nes of Chanukah, so in order to fulfill that, he should buy Ner Chanukah before Kiddush. That's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Taz over here on the right side, in Sifkot and Beis, and he discusses a Machlokes, what exactly is the scenario here? Do you have bread? Don't you have bread? And then halfway through he says, the Taz says, you know what? Forget that machlekes. Says the Taz, I'll tell you something more important. Avol nira, the le'inyan pass, if it's a question here, again, you have $2 left to your name. So the first dollar is for Ner Shabbos. What do you do with the second dollar? Again, the Shulchan Aruch paskin to buy Ner Chanukah. Says the Taz, that's only going to be talking about a case where you must already have bread. Why, says the Taz, about halfway through, it says, Avol nira, the le'inyan pass, to kuli alma pas koidim. Everybody agrees bread comes first. Why? He says a little further down, he says, Ava pas lecha mishnah, hu kaidim liyayin kiddush, toha lecha mishnah, lekuli alma da'iraisa. Everyone agrees, it's often a Gemara like we saw, two places in Shas, no one argued. The Gemara brings a pasuk and proves that lecha mishnah is da'iraisa, proven from a pasuk. Kiddush on a alakais is only drabana. We can fulfill kiddush mid da'iraisa by davening. Therefore, says the Taz, this whole halacha on Hilchos Chanukah is only talking about where a person already owns bread. Because if it didn't own bread, it's possible you'd have to buy bread before Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is only Darabanan, and bread for Shabbos is Daraisa. So therefore, concludes the Taz, halacha lamaisa, the Chiv Lecha Mishnah is Daraisa. And therefore, we must fulfill it before we fulfill any Darabanan Chiyuvim. In this case, he's talking about Ner Chanukah. So again, very clearly, the Taz is passing that this chiyuv is not just a commemorative act, it's some remembrance of what we did in the Midbar when we had the double portion of Mun. Rather, it's full-fledged obligatory mid-daraisa, and it would carry that full weight with it. However, the next page in source number 6, we're in Hilchos Yom Kippurim. And here the Shulchan Aruch is discussing a case, an unfortunate situation as well, where a person who is not well on Yom Kippur and he has to eat. So now, let's say a person, we know the various halachas, he eats a little by little, in order that it shouldn't really be mitzvah, it shouldn't combine to a big amount. But let's say if a person who's very not well and he has to eat a nice-sized portion of food in Yom Kippur, and now he's questioning whether he should bench or not. So the Shulchan Aruch says, of course he has to bench, but does he say in benching Yal V'Yavoy, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Tarach Lahaskir, he has to mention in benching Yal V'Yavoy, just like any other Yom Tiv. Okay, now, comes along the Magen Avram, and the first four words he quotes from the Sefer Knesset HaGedoyla, an early Achrayin, and he says, the Knesset HaGedoyla says, don't forget about Lecha Mishnah. So again, says the Knesset HaGedoyla, if you have a person who unfortunately has to have a suda, he has to eat on Yom Kippur, he's not going to get by with little tidbits or little, you know, small drinks. He has to actually have real portions of food. Zok the Knesset HaGedoyla, don't forget Lecha Mishnah. Lecha Mishnah is a chiv on Shabbos and Yom Tif, therefore, on Yom Kippur, I'll have to have Lecha Mishnah. Looks a little bit strange, but that's what you got to do. Says the Magen Avraham, I argue. And the Magen Avraham says, V'li nira she'ein sarach. It's not necessary. D'loy tiknu kein yom kippurim. Chazal never were mistaken it for Yom Kippur. The words here are very crucial. He says, the Chazal were never mistaken it for Yom Kippur. So the Machta Shekel, which is a running commentary on the Magen Avraham in Source 7, explains. He says, what the Magen Avraham is telling us here is kivan de einai ela takanas chachamim. Because this whole idea of Lecha Mishnah is only rabbinic enactment. It's just to be commemorative of what happened in the Midbar. So therefore, we don't have to do it on Yom Kippur. And he goes on to say, the second line, he says, de einai choyva kol kach, it's not such an obligation. V'imkein b'yom ha-kippurim yesh lomar d'lay tiknu, Chazal never misaken it. And he says, also logically, he says it makes sense. He says, because the whole reason why we commemorate the idea of having Lecha Mishnah is because on Friday there was a double portion. But on Yom Kippur, we're not eating. So why would there be a double portion on Erev Yom Kippur? He says, okay, maybe you'll tell me there are women, or some women who maybe just gave birth, or Chaylim, or Katanim, who need to have food. Okay, so maybe there was the Red Cross building on one end of the Machaneh, they had some emergency mun for people for Yom Kippur who needed to eat. But we're not going to say that for the Hamoinam, for the regular people, there was an abundance of man on Yom Kippur. And therefore he concludes, since the whole thing is Takanas Chachamim, the Magen Avraham is telling us over here that it will not be a Chiyuv on Yom Kippur.
Is it possible that a Yom Shvi is derisive, but any other Yom Tov which falls out during the week would be a Derabbanan? That's the way that Takanas Chachamim.
Okay, good point. I kind of swallowed up the idea that Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos, because that's how we paskim, and that's based on the Rishonim. Which I didn't bring down over here, the Rishonim explain that just like on Shabbos, Mon didn't fall, so Mon didn't fall on Yom Tov also. So with those Rishonim, one second, it just follows through that it will be lined up. It's true, the original Pasuk is, the Pasuk only tells us about Shabbos, Pasuk never tells us about Yom Tov, granted, but if we're just following the equation, it shouldn't necessarily make a difference. Yeah.
There's a double portion for Yom Tov also?
Yeah, on a regular Erev Yom Tov, regular Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkot, Erev Shavuos, there'll be a double portion. Now, it's interesting, just I saw this, this is a question that bothered me a little bit, a Baal Batish type of question that Baruch Hashem I found that was asked. So, where do we get food from Matzah Yom Kippur? If we just said that on Erev Yom Kippur there was no double portion, that means you only got food on Erev Yom Kippur for what we needed to eat before the fast, and no man fell on Yom Kippur, so what do we eat Matzah Yom Kippur? There was no 7-Eleven, where are we going to get food from? So this is asked, I saw this in the Haggai, so the Ketei HaMateh, which is in the bottom of the Mateh Ephraim, and he says it must be that no, really there was a double portion that fell on Yom Kippur, because we have to eat Matzah Yom Kippur. But since it wasn't meant to eat it on Yom Kippur, it was only meant to eat on Matzah Yom Kippur, so there's no point to commemorate that with having Lecha Mishnah on Yom Kippur itself if someone has to eat. But that led me to the next question, so it should be a Matzah Yom Kippur perhaps, there should be an idea to have Lecha Mishnah. We don't find necessarily qualified in the Paiskim that they say that you have to have Lecha Mishnah on Matzah Yom Kippur per se. So, okay, I'm leaving that food for thought.
Well,
obviously, it didn't fall on Yom Kippur. So it fell before Yom Kippur, and we're only going to eat it on Matzah Yom Kippur, so maybe Matzah Yom Kippur should require us to have Lecha Mishnah, but maybe, I don't know, I didn't see anybody discuss that particularly. Okay, so now we have, let's just say we have established a Machlokes. How severe is this halacha? Is this a full-fledged araisa like the Taz Paskins? Or, as the Magen Avraham learns, it's only midrabanan. The Aruch HaShulchan and Hilchos Shabbos, in Source 8, he, in his introduction to the halachas of Lecha Mishnah, he speaks out the Gemara, and over here in Sifkat and Aleph, and he speaks out the Gemara, like we said, the Lecha Mishnah is completely superfluous in the Pasuk. He says, the last line and a half of the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, V'nira shezeu din Torah. It's a full-fledged mitzvah. It's not just an asmachta. The be'emes hach lecha mishnah. These words in the pasuk in Parshas Bishalach of lecha mishnah are meyuter legabri, are completely extra, and therefore the Aruch HaShulchan is passing like the Taz that this is a daraisa din daraisa. Now I copied here the Aruch HaShulchan. I didn't copy the other pasukim. Of course, this machlekes continues, and the Mishnah Berurah in numerous places in Be'er Halacha and Sha'ar Tzion. He seems to prefer the Magen Avraham that it's only derabbana and not a daraisa. There are nafkaminas for it, and hopefully as we go along, we'll try to point out some of them, but that was really a discussion we had a couple years back, discussing some of the common, popular nafkaminas that the Pesukim discuss of having a shalem and other cases like that. But now let's move on a little bit, and we'll keep this in the back of our mind. Now let's go back to what we said before about the two ways the Rishonim learned to Gemara. We had Machlekes Rashi and the Rajba. Do you take both, according to Rab Zeira, the machlek is in Rab Zeira, do you take both challahs and only break one in a nice sized piece, or do you take two and break two? So here we have the Shulchan Aruch, it's source number 9 on page 4, and Hilchas Shabbos telling us in Sif Aleph, Boitseya al shnei kikaris shalemais, you should be boitseya on two whole loaves, and he says, what does that mean? Sha'oiches shteyen biyadai, take both in your hand, hold both of them, and we, I think the Amud already did this Gemara where the Taisus discusses the idea of holding challah in general. Every time we should hold it all 10 fingers for different reasons, either because based on a pasuk or because the 10 mitzvahs that are involved in making 10 steps in making the bread. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, "Upoitzei hatachtoina, you should break only the bottom one." The Ramah continues, that's only on Friday night. On Shabbos day, we break the top one. That's Alpi Kabbalah. That's a different discussion. But again, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, take both challahs and break only one. And that's like going to be like either Rav Kahana or as well Rashi's pshat in Reb Zeira. But it's not going to be going like the Rashi's pshat in Reb Zeira. That's how the Shulchan Aruch is paskening. The Bir Hagro in number 10, which is right over there on the Shulchan Aruch, says, Ayin Mogen Avram, who explains, like we just said, that the source of this halacha is from Rashi. However, says the Gain, V'ikr k'mosha kosaf ha-marshal v'shlo, the main pshat is like the marshal and the shlo are both right. Lachtoich shneyem, to cut both challahs. Kipirish harajba, like the Rajba said in the Gemara, virabeinu haigoin, akula sherusa, like Rav Zeira said, break the whole portion. To the Pirish Rashi, says the Gemara, because according to Rashi's pshat in Rav Zeira, kasha ma'oid, it's very hard to understand the Gemara's kasha of my mechzi kraf snusa. What did the Gemara mean to say when it asked that you're looking like you're a very hungry person? Gam haloshin akula sherusa doichek, the word akul, like the Rajba asked, is shver according to Rashi. And therefore, the Goyin is saying on Shulchan Aruch that he is saying we should go like the Rajba and not like Rashi. Now, I want to stop for a minute and point out, like we emphasized before, the Gemara gave us two hanhagas, two ways the Amoraim did lecha mishnah, Rav Kahana and Rav Zeira. The Gemara did not conclusively tell us which way we should follow. We had a machlokes Rashi and the Rajba, what the pshat in Rav Zeira was. Neither Rashi or the Rajba or Rav Haigain, for that matter, told us what we should do. Rav Haigain even concluded, you could do whatever you want. You can break one or break two. You'd be a good Jew either way. The Shulchan Aruch is paskening to break only one. Like we said, that's paskening like Rav Kahana, or that's paskening even like Rav Zeira, according to Rashi. Comes along the Vilna Gaon and says that no, we should follow the pshat of the Rajba. I'm pointing out that although the Rajba said that's pshat and Rav Zeira, the Rajba never said to necessarily follow that way, and like we said, the Rajba concluded with Rav Haigoin, you could do either one. And he quotes a Maharshal and a Shlah that they used to cut both. So now, I didn't see the Shlah inside, but I did see that the Drisha, which is on the bottom of the tour, quotes, he was a Talmud of the Maharshal, he quotes his Rebbe, the Maharshal, that the Maharshal only broke two challahs on the daytime Suda, didn't break two challahs Friday night. And he says, why only in the daytime Suda? Because there's another question in Halacha of which Suda should you show more honor to. Is Kavod HaLaila Adif or Kavod Yayim Adif? And we paskin that Kavod Yayim is Adif, the daytime Shabbat Suda should have more Kavod to it. And therefore the Marshal would show that by the daytime Suda breaking both challahs. That was like significant to show it's more Kavod for that Suda. But Friday night, the Marshal only broke one. The way the Goyin is saying it, it sounds like you should always break two, and like the Rajba. So again, it's not clear how this developed exactly, but we see where it's coming from, but how it became the bottom line, it's not clear from this Goyin itself. However, in source 11, we have the Sefer Ma'aser Rav. The Ma'aser Rav is written by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. It's the Hanhagos, it's what the Gaon himself actually did. So over there in source 11, in letter Kuf Chav Gimel, the Talmidei HaGaon write as follows. What did the Vilna Gaon do? U'baitzeya al shtei chalos. The Vilna Gaon used to break both chalos, shleimos, that were whole. Dehainu chaytech shtein biyachad. He didn't just break one after the other. He lined them up somehow and gave one big slice and cut both of them at the same time. And then they add v'chein kol suda. And every Shabbos suda he did this, not just Shabbos morning. V'chein biyamtif. He also did this on all the yamtif sudas. Kidas harajbazal. Like the Rajba. And like we just pointed out, that's not exactly, you know, doesn't follow exactly because Rajba didn't say necessarily you should do that. But it was a Rajba's pshat in Rav Zera. Nimtza. They conclude the kolah Shabbos kuloi, the whole Shabbos, if you sum total, three meals, two challahs a meal, three times two, six challahs. U'mechuvin api ha-zayar. And now, says Talmidei HaGaon, it fits very well with the zayar, because what does the zayar say? They don't tell you, but I'll speak to that in a minute. U'pam achad, and one time, ha-yimenochon lefan of kama challahs, one time the Vilna Gaon had many challahs before him by the Shabbos table, u'batza es kulon, and he broke all of them. So here we have multiple points for discussion now. First, they say it's like the Rajba. But then they say it fits like the Zayar. And then he'll break all of them even if it's more than two. So there's a Zayar that discusses, I didn't copy it here because, as we know, there's no Zayar here to copy from. The Zayar says there's an inyan of having Yud Beis Chalos on Shabbos. We should have 12 Chalos. And it's Machlaikis what that means. The Hasidim learn what that means is that every Suda, many Rebbes or other Hasidim have this practice, that they'll have 12 Chalos by every Suda. Doesn't necessarily mean they break all 12 Chalos. That would be a little excessive. Maybe, according to the Gaon, not, but the Rebbe don't necessarily break all 12 challahs, but they have 12, and that's keneged the lechem haponim, the 12 challahs that were in the Beis HaMikdash, which they would distribute every Shabbos to the Kohanim. So we're doing now Kain, the Beis HaMikdash, on Shabbos, we'll have 12 challahs. What the Gaon did, according to this way, Moshe Sternberg explains in his Sefer Ma'aser Rav HaChadosh, the Gaon would break two challahs by every meal, so that we said that's breaking six challahs, but that means now, but really that comes to 12, because if you break up six challahs, every six challahs broken into two, six times two, would get to 12. So it says that Moshe Sternberg, Pshat in the Gaon, was not just based on the Rajba, but based on his understanding in the Zohar, that in order to fulfill this idea of having Yud Beis challahs, he would break two every meal. Sum total, you would end up with 12 broken challahs over Shabbos. That's the way the Moshe Sternberg explains the Gaon. I saw the Sefer Divrei Shol, which is the Shol Meshev Al HaTorah, says a similar idea as well to explain the Minhag HaGro. So now we're opening up the Gaon, was not just going with the Rajba, because that's a little bit difficult, because the Rajba didn't state to do it per se, and it was only going in Reb Zera, but based on the Zayar, we can understand a little more why the Gaon particularly broke both. You want to say something?
I want a question. Yeah. You're using cut and break. Is there a sheet of this to break them, or is there a sheet to cut them, or how do we understand? Because you're using the two in interval.
You're right. I am interchanging them, and I'm not being specific in how I'm saying it. The Lashon of Batza literally means to break. I have to think about that more, but there is an Inyan. In general, we didn't speak about this right now, to mark the challah with the knife and cut right from there. Some people use the pull-apart challahs, right? That's always easy. You can just pull it apart. You don't have to cut it. I'm not sure. Right now, I'm using it interchangeably. Don't be medayek in the way I'm saying
number
it.
Number 11 tells you the Aaron to gender.
Right. Chaytech, right. Fine. Okay, fair enough.
So the Grah, does he make any mention as to whether you said cut them both from the top, but we saw that the Mechaber said to cut the lower one first.
Right, well, the Gaon is arguing on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is not going with this idea. He's not going with the Zohar. He's not going with the Rajba. He's going simply with Rashi, or maybe passing even according to the Rajba, like Rav Kahana, because according to Rav Kahana, even in the Rajba's world, he only broke one. The Gaon is telling us two.
Could be the only reason Rav Kahana holds the way he does is because of the objection the Gemara gives of
Mesa.
It was for Anford, so there's no reason not to go.
Okay,
there.
But then also Luktu, right? Luktu Ksiv, he says that means they took two. Doesn't mean they broke two also, right? He had that Diak also. And that's the Gemara and Shabbos adds that, right? Okay, so that's the Vilna Gaon's practice. And what's interesting is that the Aruch HaShulchan, who is from the Litvisha Paiskim, tells us in source 12, which is in Sif Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan, he quotes this Machlaikis, and he says there are many people he's heard now in Litta and other various communities that are going with this Gra to break two challahs. And he says, I don't get it. I don't know where this, why is everyone going like this Vilna Gaon? He says, it's a couple lines down. Ve'enem even zeh. I don't understand this, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Denehida apirish ki Rav Zera ke HaGaon v'harajba. It's true that the way the Rajba learned Rav Zera, this is the way to do it. But mikol makom harav Ashi Rav Kahana le'sfir le'kein is a machlekes in the Gemara.
V'hema Basrayim, their latter Amorayim after Abzera. We should paskin like the Basrayim. They only broke one. So why are we choosing the Rajma's Pshat and Rabzera over Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi? And he has other questions. And therefore he concludes, he says, I don't know why you should do this. Don't do like this. Tzarchi and Gadol Bazeh, why everyone does this. And or people started doing this, and the custom according to the Aruch HaShulchan is to cut just one challah, as many people do. It's interesting, the last line, he quotes in the small print, he says that Api Kabbalah, the first halacha on Hilchas Lecha Mishnah, which is very interesting, that the Magen Avraham discusses, is the minig Api Kabbalah that a person should kiss his mother's hands on Friday night. That's it. We don't know why. Api Kabbalah. Well, some people might know why, but the Magen Avraham doesn't tell us why. That's the first halacha when it comes to Lecha Mishnah. I was thinking, maybe just perhaps to show recognition, perhaps the mother was one who made the challah. So you want to, you know, give her, someone had to sit there and eat the dough. This is before Bash and KitchenAid were around. Someone worked hard over there to get that challah going. But I don't know, I'm sure, Al Pi Kabbalah, I'm sure there's a much deeper reason for it. But that's interesting side point in the first halacha on Lecha Mishnah. The Mishnah Brura as well speaks out the minig of the Goyin. And he says that the Olam is noig like the Shulchan Aruch. He's not rejecting it. He's not as strong like the Aruch HaShulchan was. But he's saying the minig olam is like the Shulchan Aruch that we break only one challah per meal. Now another halacha which I didn't copy down, but I'll just speak it out now, is the Ramah later on Hilchas Shabbos, which says that on all Sudas Shabbos we should do Lecha Mishnah, not only on Friday night, not only on Shabbos day, not only B'Shal Shudas, which is a chiddush unto itself, but even if a person for whatever reason is going to have an extra Suda, the Gemara actually discusses. We don't paskin this, but there's a man in the Gemara, Rav Chitka, who paskins that every Shabbos we have to have four sudas. And for whatever reason, let's say a person is in the summer and he had one suda very early, and for whatever reason he's hungry in the afternoon, he wants to sit down and wash again, have another serving of chalent Shabbos afternoon. So according to the Ramah, he would have to do Lecha Mishnah again by that meal. And the question is why? If Lecha Mishnah is just being commemorative of the mun, the nace of the mun, so that was for each one of the Shabbos meals, we have Lecha Mishnah. So if a person decides to go ahead and make an extra suda, why would he necessarily be required to have Lecha Mishnah? What's he commemorating? They didn't have that necessarily extra meal in the Midbar. However, I did see something interesting from Rav Nevin Sol Shlita, who was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the main Talmud Muvik of him, and he writes that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that even those people who follow the Minhag Hagra, and they would cut two challahs every meal, if they would make an extra meal on Shabbos, it's not necessary for them to cut both challahs. And first I was bothered, why? If the simple understanding of the Vilna Gaon, like on the Shulchan Aruch, is because of the Rajba said, anytime you're eating, you have to break all the portions of bread like Rav Zeira, because of, that's the covered Shabbos, to show that you're doing it special for Shabbos. So what's the difference if I'm having my fourth meal or my third meal or my fifth meal or my sixth meal? I should always have to break both challahs. But if you explain the Goyin like the Maaser Rav seem to understand it, and the way the other Mefarshim were explaining it, that's based on the Zayar, that the whole point of breaking both is only get to the commemorative of 12 sum total, because two each meal, six times two, would come to 12 challahs to commemorate that idea of the Yud Beis Challahs, then it makes sense that if you're just having an extra meal on Shabbos, then you wouldn't have to break both challahs, even according to the Minhag Hagra. So I'm trying to point out from here that we can also answer, perhaps, the Aruch HaShulchan's question. The Aruch HaShulchan was very bothered, why are we picking Rav Zeira over Rav Kahana Rav Ashi? Rajba didn't paskin like that. Why is the Vilna going paskin like that? He's not paskin necessarily only based on the Rajba. He's paskin based on the idea of the Zayar, and to fulfill the idea of the Zayar, having Yud-based challahs, so you'll break two challahs every meal. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan was very upset. Why are you going to Rajba over Rashi, not with the Shulchan Aruch? Because it has to do with an idea of the Zayar. So again, according to this, if you're going that the basis of the Vilna Gaon is Kabbalah, not necessarily our Gemara, so that would mean that if you're having more than three meals, you would not have the requirement of Lecha Mishnah. And, I'm sorry, you would not have the requirement to break both. You would have Lecha Mishnah, not the requirement to break both. And it would make sense why we can go like the Zayar, and we're not necessarily following Rav Zeira per se, but rather we're following the idea of having 12 challahs by the meal. Now, another interesting question on Lecha Mishnah is like this. A couple of points.
You're saying the Goyin Paskin just Alpi the Zayar.
Alpi the Zayar to Firzach, that Dafka, why he did. I mean, the Rajba and Achanami, the Rajba wasn't Paskining. So, what was the icing on the cake, so to speak, for the Goyin to follow that idea of Rav Zeira with the Rajba was the idea of the Zayar, which says to have Yud Beis Chalas. The way the Goyin was understanding that was to get some total of Yud Beis
Chalas.
Right.
But the Mishnah says we don't go like Kabbalah when it's
connected. Connected halacha, so no, it's not connected.
It's not really connected.
Right, it's not connected. Right, right. No, I was thinking about that. So a couple more questions over here about Lecha Mishnah. Number one, as I mentioned briefly before, the Ramah says that by every Suda of Shabbos, including Shalosh Shudas, we should have Lecha Mishnah. Let's just do a little math over here. Let's understand how it worked. Friday, we got a double portion. So that means every day there was enough mun fell for two meals. We had a morning meal and an evening meal. Two loaves of bread. So on Shabbos, we have a double portion, right? So that means on Friday, so to speak, we got four loaves of bread. Two for Friday, two for Shabbos. So it comes Friday night. I have three loaves left, one for the Friday night Suda, and two for Shabbos. So I should take Lecha Mishnah. Great. Shabbos morning, I have two loaves left, so I take two, and I save one for Shalosh Shudas, right? Come Shalosh Shudas, in the Midbar, they should have only had one loaf left. You following the math? So why should it be required for Shalosh Shudas, I still have to have Lecha Mishnah?
Well, it's not a question. It's a question that you don't have. You can't even do it.
You don't have it, right, exactly. So why today...
Shalosh Shudas is the same chiyuv to eat it as the other two Sudas.
Well, if we have a chiyuv to eat three Sudas on Shabbos, minimal. So then, but we're saying that perhaps in the Midbar, they didn't have two challahs for Shalosh Shudas, right? They only had one challah left for Shalosh Shudas, one man challah left for Shalosh Shudas. So why are we doing Lecha Mishnah by Shalosh Shudas? That's the question. Number two is that why are we commemorating this Nais on Shabbos? When did Nais happen? The Nais happened on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, we got double portion. It's true that it was the purpose of it was to last four Shabbos, but we should do something on Friday right, to recognize the fact that something happened today. We're waiting the next day, and so to speak, only when the kicks in, and saying, okay, meaning it's not the kash of the century, but I think we could bring out a site soon to help fortify this idea. But maybe we should do something on Shabbos as well, on Friday as well, to commemorate the fact that today was the Nais. So the first question first, there's a Pirish Das Akene Baal Taisus, which is printed in the Makoreis Gedolas Chumash, who's bothered by this idea of what exactly happened in the Midbar. How do they have their Lecha Mishnah set up? So first he brings like the equation we just spoke out, that you'll have a double portion. So it would come out that for Shal Shudas to be left with only one challah, and therefore he says there were those that wanted to say, excuse me, it's the end of the third line. In this paragraph he says, V'zeraya she'ein botzen b'shnei kikaris v'mincha b'shabbos, you don't have to have two loaves by Mincha Shabbos. Then he says, with four lines down, he says, Amnom re'isi meher rav rabbeinu marinon, that this Balei HaTosfos would also have two challahs by Shabbos, by Mincha b'Shabbos, by Shal Shudas. And he writes, V'kibalti meharav Rav Avram, he heard from the other Balei HaTosfos Rav Avram, who says, Araya as follows. The Pasuk says, Re'u, ki Hashem noitzen lechem haShabbos. The Medrash says, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Im yomru aleichem umas ha'olam, if the nations of the world challenge us, Lama atem mishamres haShabbos, why do we keep Shabbos? Hashivu, the Medrash says, respond to them, Re'u anes, because look at this great miracle. Shebechol yoim, every day during the week, they got one suitcase, whatever, one container, one dose of mon. Ubishabis, they got shtei predos, pirish kefulos, kilomar, meaning to say. Shebekol suda sheyoredes bishvil Shabbos, yoredes kfula velachma. He explained the medrash to mean that for every Shabbos suda, we got a double portion for that suda. Not just we got a double portion of mon in general, and you break it up like we said before, that whole mathematical equation. No. Every Suda, we had a double portion for, meaning we ate like kings on every Shabbos. And therefore, he goes on to explain, that's why for Shal Shudas as well, that's the common custom to have Lecha Mishnah as well, because for every Suda, we had a double portion of challah. There's an interesting chiddush that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaser, brings this down as well, and some follow this, not all do. But he says, the idea over here is not just for the lechem only per se, but the whole suda has to be kafel. And therefore he says, if let's say you're going you bar mitzvah kiddush or afruf, some kiddush is going on a shul, and you're going downstairs, you're not having challah right now, but I'm having cake, cookies, ragalach. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I should take two cookies. I should take two ragalach, two pieces of cake. Now, you'll say, what do you mean? It's not enough for everybody. Okay, that could be a problem. But assuming there's enough for everybody, but don't say mechzi krav sanusa, because you're doing it in honor of Shabbos. This is a great diet breaker. In honor of Shabbos, I need to take two cookies. I'm being very frum, because that's a key of the idea of Lecha Mishnah, even though it's not on the bread per se, but the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is applying it to all Suda Shabbos, because it's that idea for Shabbos, we're showing the idea that it's chaviv to us, and the whole Shabbos, we got a double portion by the Suda. I wanted to end with a Bir Halacha in beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. And there, it's interesting, there's another halacha of something we do that's zecher to the mon. The Ramah paskins, this is the first sermon in Hilchah Shabbos Reish Mem Beis. The Ramah writes, Yeshek Kosfu, there are those that write, Shebe Miktas Mekoymais, in some places, No Gulechel Moilisa. You eat this dish called a Moilisa, Shekarin Pashtida Balel Shabbos. It's some Pashtida dish, I don't know, I would call it Kugel nowadays. Zeche Lamon. Why is it a Zeche Lamon? What? Well, no, well, we'll see, because it had two levels, and the middle was it's like top of a meat pie, or something, a meat, like it's called a shepherd's pie, or something, I don't know, you know, it's like meat in the middle with dough on top and bottom, so something like that, some nice geschmack, a knish, a kugel type of thing, and that's a zecher to the mon, says Ramah, because the mon came in a beautifully wrapped package every day. It was a cover on the bottom, and a cover on top, and the mon was in the middle. That's what the Ramah writes. So here, the Be'al Locha asks, L'chayra, Minig zet tumu al rabim. This minig is bewildering to the masses. Demar ro lasos b'shabbos zichro in the mon. Why on Shabbos are we making zecher to the mon? Shla yard ba klal. The mon didn't fall on Shabbos. And that's really the same question we can ask by us. And the whole idea of lecha mishnah is because of the mon. The mon didn't fall on Shabbos. Let's do something Friday afternoon. Now, especially we have so much time Friday afternoon, you know. It's a very easy schedule in the winter. And we should do something on Friday afternoon as well to remind us of the mon. So he offers a couple of pshatim, and the last pshat, which the Be'al Locha likes the best, he quotes from the Sefer Teres Chaim. He says, "Shekasav tam hagen lezev, who lefi de b'Shabbes bereishis, meaning the Shabbos of our weekday, we have every week, the seventh day of the week, who dugmas Shabbos la'asalavu, we're mimicking, we're copying what's going to be la'asalavu b'mayis ha-mashiach, shuhu yoyim shekulei Shabbos, v'lachein, and therefore, on every Shabbos now, anu oisim kamadvarim, we do many things, dugmasai similar to what's going to be b'mayis ha-mashiach. We eat basar v'dogim on Shabbos, because that's kenega the sudas shar habar v'lav yasan. We might have a sheikh love the sudas v'lav yasan and the shar habar, which is meat and fish. We make kiddush on wine, which is nega the yayin hamashumer, the special wine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid away in the clouds of tzaddikim v'asalavoy. And furthermore, he says, the Chazal say that the reason why the rekia is called the shechokim, the grinding area, because Shabbai in the rekia, somewhere up there in the heavens, shechakim mon the tzaddikim laslova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is grinding the mon to be ready for the tzaddikim, b'mayis ha-mashiach, m'her b'yimeinu. V'lochein, zok the Be'al Locha, shaper yeis lasa yis b'shabbos zeichel amon ahu. When we talk about, says the Be'al Locha, making commemoration to the mon on Shabbos, it's what are we talking about with it's true. It's based on what was the mon in the midbar. And that's what the pasuk is based on. That's the Gemara. But there's a drush here as well, says the Be'al Locha. The drush here is that we're being anticipating Mashiach. We're getting ready for the mon. When's the mon going to be served to us? Laslavai on Shabbos, not on Friday. So it's true. The idea of the mon happening falling on Friday, that's true. But we're taking it one step further. Now we're being Mashiach Yidden. We're doing now the Zeicher Taman. The reason why it's being commemorated on Shabbos as opposed to Friday is because we want to be thinking Mashiach based that La'asalavai, we should be Zeicher to eat from that mon. I'd like to end off just by saying that this pshat, if we can use this, like the Be'al Locha, can only work the Be'al Locha L'shitasai. That Lecha Mishnah is not a Chi of Daraisa. Lecha Mishnah is only a Darabonon. And they tacked it on to what was in the Midbar. And therefore now we could say a drush that it could fit into what will be Be'ez Hashem B'Mayis HaMashiach. But if we learn like the Taz and the Aruch HaShulchan, that the whole idea of Lecha Mishnah is Daraisa, be hard to say that Daraisa now is also corresponding to the Mon Laslova. It's a little bit too much, perhaps, of a stretch. But basically, bottom line, let's just sum up what we spoke about today, the idea of the Chiv of Lecha Mishnah every Shabbos, the Gemara Darshan's from the Pasuk and Parshas B'Shalach, of the superfluous expression of Lecha Mishnah. We had a Machlekes Taz and Magen Avram, if that was a full-fledged Daraisa Drasha, or was only an Asmachta, was the Rabbana, or was more commemorative. We have the Machlekes in within the Gemara between Rav Kahana and Rav Zeira, how to do Lecha Mishnah. According to Rav Kahana, you take two and break one. According to Rav Zeira, it's a Machlekes Rashi and the Rajba, if you take two and break a big piece, or you take two and break two. We have the Shulchan Aruch paskening like Rashi or like Rav Kahana, that we take two challahs and we only break one. We have the minig of the Vilna Gaon, which is to break two every meal, which fits in with the Rajbas, Pshat, and Rav Zeira, and as well with the Zohar. Many people do have a custom to go with the Vilna Gaon. Many people don't. The common practice is not to necessarily break two every meal. You know, it comes out, I saw other person speak out that if you're having a large meal in any way, you're going to be cutting up both chalas. Might as well do it at the beginning of the meal if you think, you know, long enough question of wasting the challah.
But you say you cut them both at once.
Cut them both at once. So, all right, if you could, you have to practice that. You know, it's not so easy. You don't want to slip, you know.
Long knife.
All right, you can try to practice it. And then we have various other, the Unim and the Paiskim, we mentioned some of them, but I'll just, I have actually a couple of minutes. The Paiskim discussed very interesting questions. Let's say I'm at home, and I have one challah out of the freezer and one challah in the freezer. And it's Shabbos morning. I need one for Lecha Mishnah. I need two for Lecha Mishnah, I should say. So one's frozen, one's not frozen. Could I be mitzarev? Could I take the frozen one and use it for the for Lecha Mishnah and then put it back in the freezer? I don't want to cut it. So of course, according to the Vilna Gaon, you can't start this question because you have to eat both challahs. So you'll have to wait for it to defrost. But according to the common custom, not like the Vilna Gaon, are you allowed to take a frozen one or not? So most Paiskim say yes, especially if Shlomo Zalman Orbach adds that frozen challah is really not something which is unedible. It really technically is edible, it's just hard to cut it. And usually, once it's cut, it's very, very quickly ready to eat. And therefore, he says it'll be allowed to be done. As well, the Paiskim discuss, let's say you have one challah in a plastic bag, one challah is not a plastic bag. Would that be okay for Lecha Mishnah or not? According to the Vilna Gaon, again, the whole question doesn't start because you have to cut both. You're not going to cut through the plastic, presumably. But according to the common custom, not like that. So many Paiskim say it's best to take it out of the plastic bag. But what's interesting is that the Archas Rabbeinu of Stipler writes that what happens if it's Erev Pesach Shkalas B'Shabbos and I have one challah Shabbos morning for my Suda, I'm not allowed to eat matzah at that point because it's Erev Pesach. And if I take a matzah out, everyone's going to go berserk. You can't take a matzah out and put it next to the challah. So there he writes, you can wrap it in a plastic bag and use it for Lecha Mishnah because you want to get Lecha Mishnah and you don't want to take the challah and touch it against the matzah chas v'shalom. That would be disastrous. And you can't eat the matzah. So he says wrap in a plastic bag. So the Paiskim do allow it in certain situations. Other shalas that come up, we mentioned briefly about the idea of sholem. There are more paskins that you need shlemus always for Lecha Mishnah. The Netziv has a big chiddush that it always depends how it comes before you. Meaning, according to the Netziv, it could be called shalom. He has arrived from the sugi in Meruba that if it came before you broken, if you have someone brought to you a broken challah and two pieces ready, according to the Netziv, that could be a din of shalem, and I can use that, meaning each one is considered shalem because the way I see it is a complete unit. That's why it wasn't broken before me. It came like that, so to speak. According to the Netziv, that would satisfy for Lecha Mishnah, wherever the Dayan Weiss and Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak and Rasan Gestetner Zatzal and Lahir's Nasan, they both, of course, argue on that. It's very hard to understand why would that be of a din shalem, but again, that's based on an understanding of the Tshuvas Minchas Yaakov, that because the whole idea of Lecha Mishnah is only Derabbanan, so it's not such a big deal, you don't have to be so machmer with Sholem. But according to the Tzad that Lecha Mishnah is Daraisa, which Chassam Sofer goes with, then you have to be more machmer and you need Sholem all the way. Okay, there's always more shayas to discuss Lecha Mishnah. Thank you everybody for joining us and continued Hatzlacha.
Would it also have a relationship?